All right, Sunday morning, 9:124. This is a teaching called Great Grace. The Lord said to me this week, He said, I'm teaching you to walk by my grace. I don't like it. In fact, I hate it.
You had that same teaching on 7:14:24.
Well, we have another one.
Okay.
Well, let's just put part two to this in. All right. What I want to ask you today, and what I believe the Lord has been trying to relate to me, is what is your focus on? I remember it was during my shoot. I had one night that was really, really, I was just so beat up the whole night, and it was just like nothing I had experienced before. And I just said, Lord, what is going on? But he reminded me of something. Back when we first started the house church, I remember we were praying. There's a guy there that he'd hurt his shoulder at work or something. He was in a stabilizer. And I remember we were praying for people. And I don't think I ever touched him. I think I just reached my hand out. Well, when I did, it was like the book, Like a Mighty Wind, whooshed by me and nearly knocked me down and nearly knocked him down. And that's what the Lord brought to me. He said, focus on that great power and that great grace instead of this great trial. What's your focus on? Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Sometimes I think we get so bogged down with the heaviness of just putting up with stuff. I've been telling the Lord all week, Lord, we need intercessors. Raise up intercessors, Lord. We need them. We need their help. I know when we have more intercessors that it's not as intense. The Lord said, you've been targeted. Well, I get it. I'm the recipient of it. All right. Great trials and adversity. No light at the end of the tunnel. Or has it been great grace, your focus? Like, I just don't know if I'm going to make it. Has that been your focus? Or has it been, God, your grace is great. Lord, your grace is sufficient. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. And He will quicken this mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in me. The same Spirit that raised Him from the dead. Is that our focus? Or is this our focus? Nobody knows the trouble I see. I'm serious as I can be. You can get beat up on so much that you just think, Lord, am I going to make it? And I'm telling you the truth today with all that's in me. All right. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. We're going to start there at verse 33. Now, this is after they healed the man at the gate. Well, you know, we're going to read about the man at the gate here in a minute, but we're going to just read this part first. Verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. This is what great grace does. A church that walks under the great grace of God is going to be empowered. There aren't going to be any lack or sick. I'm convinced of it. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. How was this great grace realized? Right there. This great grace upon the church for full provision. No one lacked anything. Those that had extra sold whatever or brought whatever. All right, now let's go to chapter 4 here. Or 3, I'm sorry, 3. See what happened. Let me stress right now, you can't heal anybody, and you can't do anything. You have to say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We don't heal anybody, never will heal anybody. Jesus did that. We got to remember who this is all about. This is Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms, Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. What happened? Jesus the healer. Just like that day in our living room. That power surged past me. It's like like a mighty wind. It was like a mighty wind. The Lord said, focus on that. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Peter didn't do that. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which was happening to him. And another point here. I always thought, why didn't Jesus deal with him? Because Jesus was at the temple all the time. Because Jesus didn't just wasn't some rogue agent. He followed the Spirit. Just like we have to. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or wholeness we had made this man to walk? They acknowledged, we didn't do it. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and he killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I want that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So they acknowledged, we didn't do it. And they got thrown in jail because of it. But they didn't heal. Jesus did. The Spirit of God healed that man, just like He healed this man that day in our living room. No person did that. You know, when you finally realize this, it helps you to, it takes the pressure off of you performing, doesn't it? You know, the churchy stuff. Oh, let's get a line up here. We just pray for everybody. And, you know, I told you, like the empty hands on empty heads. We've been in churches every Sunday. That's what they do. And I'm sure there's some. I'm sure it's a hit and miss situation. Their focus was not on their great trial, but on God's great grace. God's power did this miracle. When you realize that, then you are finally beginning to see things in the right way. They did not focus on the trial, but on the power of God. All right, chapter 4. They get called on the carpet by the authorities over this. Verse 1 is, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst of it, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, it is straitly threatened them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, rather it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Yeah. 1 John 4:4. That's one of the scriptures the Lord gave me. Greater is He. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is He. So realizing this will help us change our focus from a great trial to great grace. When we finally get it, maybe we won't have the trials anymore. I was thinking, that'd be good. When you get your focus on the great power, you won't be focusing on the great trial anymore. Because isn't that what feeds it? All right, this is how they operated after Jesus went to the Father. We have to operate the same way. There is no other way. We can't do anything in our power. That's what the medical system is. It's men and their power. And a lot of it's not power. A lot of it's just trickery. Some are noble. Some think they're doing some good things. And some probably have done some good things. But this is not God's thing. All right. Acts 11. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Okay, let me see where I stopped there. Okay. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You know, right off the bat, they realized it wasn't them doing anything, it was God. Okay, persecution equals the grace of God. Think about that. That's where you call upon the grace, right? Paul talking about it, the thorn in the flesh, and the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee. I don't think that was just for Paul. The only way, the assumption that I've come to, things come and go, but some things seem to want to stay, and you think, okay, I guess if they respond to the grace of God, then I guess you got your answer, right? You're calling on the grace of God and you get through it, that's your answer, you think? Well, it's something to think about. All right, let's keep going here. Acts 13, verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Well, you know, the grace of God was there. Then it wasn't there. They gave them an opportunity. But they continued in the grace of God. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Sound like to me they had persecution, but they had joy. I guess the grace must have been working. All right, 14. And it came to pass in Iconium, and they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Everywhere they went, persecution was stirred up against them. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony to the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So here the Lord is doing signs and wonders in the midst of these people. It's a sign. The Lord puts his money where his mouth is. Okay, 20, Acts 20. This is called the Acts of the Apostles, but really it ought to be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. You know, the apostles were the vessel. All right, 20, 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So here he is, knowing he's going to be probably thrown in prison. But he said he wanted to finish his race with joy. That's the grace of God. Any way you look at it. This man had the grace of God on him like none other. He said, none of these things move me. You know, if we focus on how great the grace is instead of how great the trial is, we could be the same way. You have to get out of that habit. All right. He had to depend on the grace of God for everything. Now go to 2 Corinthians. Because there's times he talked about everybody forsook him and fled. He's standing alone. Now, we're not sadists. Nobody likes to be beat down, for sure. I'm talking about changing your focus so that the trial does not overtake you. All right. Paul said in verse 1, it's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body or I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, the Lord just gave me a revelation. You know, there's many times I've thought, why any ministers never relate any of this to me, or you, about how it really is. Lord just said, none of them ever got high enough in their walk for me to be able to impart it to them. There's been a few, we know that. Yeah, Brother Hagin was one for sure. And Brother Copeland, I believe so also. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. Christians have lived such a shallow life. They just skimmed the surface. They've not gotten down to the real crux and root of the gospel and all that it has. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And too, the church has been out of order, and that could be a lot of it. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Ever spend those sessions with God? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I think he's one of those that called on the grace and saw the great grace over the great trial. It had to be. How could the man have done what he did? He couldn't have. Even Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. It's not wrong to hate it. But he looked forward. He looked to the joy. He looked to the great power. He knew, well, not long from now, I'll be raising from the dead by God's great power. That's what gets us through. What's worse than going through it and being down? It's a lot worse than going through it and being okay. You can get to that place, and it has to do with what you're looking at. All right, let's keep going here. Romans 1:5. Right here, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. For whatever God has called you to, he has given you the grace to be able to do it. I don't care what it is. Great grace was upon them all. That's all. Us too. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. There are so many scriptures with the word grace in it. I couldn't put them all. I didn't put them all. Aren't you glad? All right, Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we stand in the grace of God. If you feel so beaten up you can't even stand up, you stand in the grace of God. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So by grace do we stand in our cause. All right, there's a 17. Let me see what I said here. Oh, this is the mission statement of this ministry. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. We receive abundance of grace to do this, to reign. Our entire existence as a born-again believer is saturated with God's grace. I mean, from start to finish. Look at Romans. This is Romans 12. We're going to look at the first three verses there. These are called the grace gifts. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, you do this to find out what God's, why you were born. Why are you here? For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, there is a grace that comes on you for whatever God is asking of you. And to say that it's not enough would say God's a liar, wouldn't it be? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So maybe changing our way we look at things and the way we talk about it would go a long way to helping. Because I tell you, I don't like it any better than anybody else. I'm thinking, I used to do those things? That's like another person in another life. All right, God is not expecting you to get by somehow on your own. But he is supplying you with grace at every possible moment to see to it that you're a success in his calling for you. Remember that when you think, I just can't take anymore. And say, no, Lord, I know there's some more grace in there. All right, let's keep going. 1 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Paul talking here. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. He don't run out of grace. And neither do you. The Spirit of grace is in you doing the work. Always remember this and you will stay on track with God's plan for you. The greater one lives in you. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's doing the work, y'all. I wrote it down in here, so we'll get to it. We're just a vessel. We follow the Holy Spirit. He leads us to situations and circumstances so his great grace can show up and help. You're just a vessel, a container of God's power, the temple of the Holy Ghost. The day that mighty wind blew past me was like nothing I experienced before. It was God healing, and I was just the vessel that stretched out my hand, but God did the healing. Now, people can look at that and think a man's doing this and flock and run and all this kind of stuff, trying to touch you and get you to do something. But it's Christ in you. Even Jesus didn't heal that way. The man at the pool is a prime example with thousands of infirm people. He talked to one man. He told one man, get up, take up your bed and walk. One man. The grace of God was in him to do, Father, in him. All right. Let's go back to Acts 4 where we started because I want to read this to you again. I don't want you to forget this. 4:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Ghost, whom he hath given to them that obey him. You know, it's not about us. It's about him. As we stretch forth our hand, it's Jesus stretching forth his hand. That's what happened that morning. We're his representatives. Didn't he say we'd lay hands on the sick and they would recover? But that's not in a flesh way. That's being led by the Spirit way. And I think that's where the church has missed it because we've not gotten any deeper than this just on the top of the ground. That it isn't by, well, I'm just wherever I go, I can do whatever, say whatever, and I'm just expected to confess. Well, we did that for a lot of years, and nothing ever happened. Not much. I would rather him give me one time to do it, and I did it being led by the Spirit, and it happened. Wouldn't you? Okay. Mark 16, that's what I just quoted to you. That's Mark 16, 15 through 18. You lay hands on the sick and they shall recover as you're led by the Holy Spirit, as you're graced in your place to do what God has called you to do. You can expect him to perform it if you're following him. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul says here, by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. A lot was required of Paul, but he had a lot of grace to do it. Okay, 2 Corinthians 1:12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we've had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you, Word. In other words, we've come in you speaking by the Spirit, not just reading the scroll on Sunday in the temple. Galatians 1. Y'all getting your money's worth today. Start verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Are you there? I'm in Galatians 1. I'm sorry, did I say something else? Okay. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you that than that which was preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. In other words, this isn't about doing man's bidding. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, to abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which are right unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth in faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Yeah. So this was an inside job, Paul, an inside job. Pulled out of the circuit, the religious track you've been on all your life, out there, through about there in the desert. I'd like to know. I wish the books had come out about that, if there is any. All right. We know about some of the alternative gospels today ourselves, because there's been a lot of infiltration into the church concerning that. Walking by the flesh is a big one. Just doing stuff. Not accusing anybody, but there's just been not a lot of power. Or not in our circuits, anyway. Nobody knew how. We didn't know anything. We don't know the things we know today then. All right. Paul exhorts the Galatians. This is chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun of the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? This is that mixture I've been talking about. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. Just a note of interest here. Abraham wasn't a Jew. He's a Chaldean. Yeah, talk about the hijacking. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So what's he talking about here? They're trying to go back under the law, live back under the law after they received the faith of Jesus Christ. Does that sound familiar? Well, you know, we should keep those customs, you know. That's where it starts. For you know it, a little leaven leavens a whole lot. You got whole churches doing it. I know someone that had one of their kids went to one of those types of churches. I mean, they were totally under the law, and they were Christians. I said, Debbie, you better be careful with that. Better warn them. I shouldn't even said her name. Sorry, Debbie. If you ever listen to this, they don't know Debbie who, and I know a few of them. Okay. Yeah. It's all about grace. It's not the works of the flesh. I think I can safely say this is probably the biggest problem in the church today, just doing works. It's because I don't think they know. I don't think they've been taught. They don't know about the inside walk. We just get us a book and we just do what they say in the book to do. No, it doesn't work like that. The only book you need to be doing is this book. All right, let me keep going. Ephesians 3. All right, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. This is what needs to return to the church. This is what Kim Clement was talking about, apostolic Christianity, teaching the mystery of Christ. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, which God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So he's saying, I'm doing this by the grace of God. All right. It's the mighty power of God inside of us, and we're all partakers of it. All right, Ephesians 4, 7, and 8. But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. God is not going to require you to do anything that he has not given you the grace to do it, or to overcome it, or to stand in it. Now think about that when you start to get down and think about that great grace over that great trial. All right, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What's the strengthening grace. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. All right, 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Sounds good to me. A few more here. 2 Timothy 1, 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Timothy. We're going to skip that one. Let's go to Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In other words, instead of coming, Lord, take it off, take it off, take it off. Say, Lord, I need more grace, I need more grace, I need more grace. So what he's saying here? To find grace to help. Grace to help. All right, Hebrews 12. That's 11. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That goes back to, Lord, you're a hard man, so I hid my talent in the dirt. All right, Hebrews 13:9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. All right, 1 Peter 1, just three more. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope in the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Two more scriptures, 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. It's real easy to go your own way and think your own thing. All right, verse 10. But the God of grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you.